Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside. Happy Tuesday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Well-dressed hobo.
Live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. The way tire buying should be. Well, here we are right now. It could be a 2-7 preview, depending on how things go in the play-in round in the East. My Knicks, your Bulls, 114-104. Knicks with the lead. 6 minutes remaining in the game.
Well, we'll get to the second half of the back-to-back in 5 days, right?
Yes, exactly.
And they play three times down the stretch.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Brilliant scheduling by the NBA. But yes.
Listen, this is how it goes. It's April now. Things are crazy. Things get crazy in April, man.
Just trying to get through unscathed, right? Because you and I were watching some of the highlights or lowlights, as it were, between the number one and number two seeds in the East when you look at Giannis and going down to the court, which we'll get into. But yeah, my beloved Bulls not only getting worked by your squad at home, but also a lot of questions of whether their coach is going to be staying around. So,
yeah,
good
no,
times.
Lots of we'll get to that. There's lots of questions.
Billy.
All of a sudden, wait a minute. Wait, what's happening?
What did I tell you yesterday?
What's going on?
You're like, nah.
But we will get to Billy Donovan. We'll get to that. The NBA playoffs just hit pause after what went on in Milwaukee's win tonight. Giannis left the game with a calf injury. He is set for an MRI tomorrow. Didn't look good.
No.
Anytime you see a guy go down, it's not, he didn't get pushed, he didn't get hit. Wait a minute.
Contact.
This did not look good.
Just went to the ground.
They wind up beating the Celtics.
Handily.
So Doc Rivers can say, hey, we still won. I did really well. You know, I really covered for Giannis when he left the game. Well, they still won 104-91, but injury to his left calf, and you know that sometimes you can jump from left calf to Achilles. MRI. This according to Woj. He was going up court following a made three from Derek White, and all of a sudden, he just falls to the ground, and he grabs his left leg. Here's how it sounded, and here's where the playoffs hit pause.
Needless to say, GA, this is of major concern here. Giannis Antetokounmpo just sits down to stop play. Now, best case scenario, let's just hope it's a cramp of the calf.
So that's how it sounded on Bucks Radio Network. Let's just, oh, best case scenario. Then you got Tyshirt in the background playing, hey, it's broke, it's broke.
That was him on the court.
If Derek Carr added for effect.
if he's really hurt, Tyshirt,
okay.
you may get sued and or fired.
Or complimented for calling it first.
No, you can't
what?
Put that out.
I was more
good
thinking
to put that out there, man.
The karmic
you
retribution
out
there.
You cannot
out
put
there.
That out there. No, that karmic, yeah, but what's it going to be for Tyshirt? Suddenly anime's not going to be as popular? Like, what's karmic retribution?
That's okay. I don't watch as much now.
I mean, come on. You do a podcast on it.
Not as much.
What do you mean not as much?
Yeah,
your whole life was anime.
I don't know. I do more life
up
stuff.
Up until 2 weeks ago, your whole life was anime.
That was like four.
Okay.
Now
up until
life
now
stuff.
It's not. Now it's life stuff?
Yeah, life
You've
stuff.
Gone
what
from anime?
What is life stuff?
In other words, you know, I'm not making as much money in this podcast.
I just
as
got
I thought.
Too mainstream.
I'm
going to
segue into life. We're
talking like about
Marvel. Oh, it got too popular for you. It's that band he knew when they were little. You know, because anime has been just so underground all these years.
You know, listen. I was the only one talking about Mega Charizard. Now everyone is talking about Mega Charizard. Okay? This is not good anymore. I need to do something different.
Is this where he goes and finds a different character?
Don't mention Mega Charizard. No Mega Charizard anymore.
You're not Pat Riley. I don't know you $7.
You said it last night.
I know. I started to put together my pennies yesterday.
But Giannis set for an MRI. And now let's not be too crazy about this, but let's talk about where things could be headed. Obviously, it could be a calf injury, and maybe he sits out a little bit. However, tick, 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 tick. NBA season ends Sunday. We'll have the play-in round. Then the first round has to start. So best case scenario for Giannis, if he's out a week and a half, maybe he can come back for the beginning of the playoff, because it's not like the Bucks have been lighting the world on fire. You know, they went the big one tonight, right? There's a big one tonight that they won when he went out. And maybe now Giannis was the issue. Maybe he's really overrated and Giannis was the issue all along.
877-90. No, I'm just kidding.
But there's your best case scenario. Yeah. Now, as we know, there is a relation, as you see, between here's a calf injury and then here's an Achilles. Not saying that this is the case with Giannis, but this is why it's a big deal. Because remember, Aaron Rodgers just tweaked his calf at the beginning of training camp for the Jets, right? Yeah, tweak calf, he's fine. Yeah, he's good, he's back, everything is good. Nope, four snaps later, hey, guess what? Goodbye season. Yeah. So it is going to be something that they're going to have to take a lot of care with.
Well, go back to Durant.
Yeah, it's
apples to apples with the sport.
It's a case of best case for him is maybe he comes back for the beginning of the playoff, and when you're playing a team that's hot coming off of the play-in round, potentially, because there's still a few days to go between now and Sunday, and the Bucks look like they're going to finish second, but you got a couple of teams, including the Knicks, right on their heels, so you got to wait and see how that turns out. But you're looking at, hey, a hot team coming out of here, what are we looking at? And now suddenly the Bucks are in, because the Bucks have not been good.
And 2-6 in their last eight, including the win tonight.
And this gets into a thing, and why my worry about the Bucks is more than just Giannis, right? Because obviously Giannis is a big issue right now, and it's huge, and you're wondering, okay, what's going to happen? Because the thing with the Bucks is that Damian Lillard may have just gotten old overnight, right? Like, we talked about this with Rick Bucher last week when he came on, and it was Rick, hey, we're watching Damian Lillard at the end of games not get his shot off, get his shot blocked, not get open, not be able to hit shots, not be in the flow of the offense. Short, he's not quite Damian Lillard. He's become a volume shooter. He has big night scoring, but he's got 34 points because he had 28 shots. Or, he's got 27, he had 21 shots. He's become a volume shooter this year. And maybe it's because he's gotten old overnight, but all of a sudden, I mean, it's hard to say. You've had a long time to be in this offense now, and you've played alongside alongside Giannis for a while. You were obtained, and the reason Damian Lillard's there, yes, for him to win a championship, but for the Bucks to say, okay, so we don't have to rely on Giannis, and now you're saying, all right, if we don't have Giannis, are we okay with Damian Lillard? And you're really not, because maybe he's hit the wall. All the minutes, everything going along with all the responsibility, because he's not the same guy. You can look, he doesn't look like he has the same steps. He doesn't look like he can get to the rack when he needs to at the end, that defenders are able to come over and cover his space a little bit more. He just hasn't been the same guy. And whether it's just a situation that's a this year thing, or that's maybe, hey, when you're 33, 34, you never know, because when you get old, it happens right away. But Lillard has not been what they expected him to be, and that's a real big thing. That's why you look at the Bucks and go, oh, the Bucks, they're going to wind up being there. The Bucks could lose in the first round. They could, with Giannis and Lillard, they could lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, we said that as soon as Doc showed up. Oh, was that too?
No, because not because Doc usually loses in the second round of the playoffs.
Later. Okay.
And it's game seven when he loses.
Well, but you knew they were going to give up stuff defensively, and now you lose a guy who is a prime defender, potentially for an extended period of time, right? Because obviously you lose a guy, 30 points a game, 11 boards, all of that stuff, but on a team that had already given up so much defensively to bring Lillard in and make those changes, it's huge. Now, you get Pat Beverly back in, and you know you always get an injection of energy when he's in, and certainly he showed out, and he wanted to put on his best performance for Mom in the crowd. You know, got that jersey to Mom right after it was done. But for Doc Rivers and company, yeah, trying to figure out how to keep, you know, Lillard, you know, fresh. Because even though they didn't have a lot of deep playoff runs for years, he was carrying a squad, right? So, you know, we always talk about LeBron and playoff minutes and a lot of these players, you know, those, well, 80 games a year running it as they do. And he's not a kid, right? He's been in the league since 2012. Like, we age certain players, we age. Everybody else, we just kind of push to the side. Like, no, that's many a weary mile on the body. And as you get towards the end of the season, the efficiency is not necessarily going to be the same. So that's where we're at. How do you steal minutes and possessions if defensively now you're that much more compromised?
And remember, they got Lillard, so this wouldn't happen. Like, we're not going to worry about the first round.
It's just going to be offense. You're going to blow
whatever we need.
Yeah.
This is not, but they are in a ton of trouble, which is why I talk about the East being so wide open. And that's why it's got to piss off everybody in the West going, you know, teams like the Lakers and the Warriors are going to finish 10 games over 500 and be stuck in the play-in round. And while the Bucks, I mean, and while the, you know, the Bulls, and we're five games under. We're in. Look at us. Yeah, we're fine. We're not even mediocre yet. So the East is really wide open. Yes, the Celtics are good. They're not unbeatable. I'm coming back around to the Knicks now going, okay, Anunoby's back now.
See what you're doing.
No Julius Randle.
Don't do it to yourself again.
It's hard. I just keep
falling for this. They're on your never again list for a reason.
No, the Knicks are not on my never again list. Come on, man. The Knicks are not on my no. It's just, I said, okay, this is going to be one of those seasons where I have to say, all right, that's it. It was great. And it was a big what-if season because Randle but Anunoby is back, and maybe we'll have a nice long run in the playoffs, and I'll be saying, Randle was the problem.
I really wish
Randle
I
was
could,
the problem all along.
I really wish for the next 6 weeks or whatever it takes, I could put you in one of those Ted Williams or Walt Disney cryo-freeze kind of things. And then thaw you out. No, I haven't solved what might be wrong with you, but the Knicks season is done one way or another. Now we can catch you up.
I'd thaw out like Han Solo and Jedi.
That's right. You're in the carbonite.
My first thing I would say is, how are the Knicks doing? How bad are the Mets? I need to know. Knicks first.
Sandwich.
What's happening?
Big Mac.
Anunoby healthy. What's happening? Don't you want to know how your wife and kids are? Knicks first. Knicks. All right, let me tell you. Sit back. I got a tale to tell you about the end of the season. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. Tired of feeling alone in your job search? Well, with just one connection, you can find endless job opportunities. That connection is Express Employment Professionals. Don't go it alone. Visit ExpressPros.com to find the location nearest you. That's ExpressPros.com. Yes, the Bucks can go out in the first round very, very easily. We'll have more basketball on the way. Just think about that for a second. Just think about that. Think about Doc Rivers losing in the first round in that post-game press conference. Oh, that would be something. But coming up next, big goings-on in basketball. We have John Calipari officially making his decision. And where do you find out who supposedly is Kentucky's home run hire to replace him? We got all that, plus Jason Lock and Fora with all the latest news out of the NFL. Keep it right here. We got a power-packed hour coming your way. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, we're Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called Overpromised. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Covino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Covino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way. So maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Covino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Job searching can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish. It's time for a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with help of Express Employment Professionals, and Express helps people find all kinds of jobs, from manufacturing to logistics to customer service to accounting and more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call. And with just one application with Express Employment Professionals, you're in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier by letting the professionals at Express be your talent agent to find you the right spot on a great team. Express Employment Professionals is your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today.
Your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Right now in the NBA, the Knicks putting the finishing touches on a victory over the Bulls. It's a 10-point Knicks lead with 38 seconds left to go. Meanwhile, marquee game of the night, Warriors and the Lakers, a real big Western Conference play-in preview.
It's the Warriors by four early in
the first quarter.
Well, but LeBron showed up, though.
Yeah, it's good. No AD, but we have LeBron, so you do have him in that game. But big stuff in the NFL to get to. Nobody better than the guy joining us right now, who we're playing a very special song from right now, because I know how happy he is. Longtime NFL insider. Check him out on Odyssey. Washington Post, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Very happy because it is official. His Orioles have called up the number one prospect in all of baseball, Jackson Holliday, to the team.
Celebrate!
Jason Lockenfour is drinking champagne right now, and he is just all kinds of giddy. What's happening, Jay?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey,
better,
buddy.
Better late than never. It's good to right a wrong when you can.
Yeah, well, it's not too late. It's only a couple weeks in. Everything is okay.
No, I mean, every game counts. I mean, yeah, we're watching Tony Kemp and Ramon Urias and these guys out there. Like, what? Yeah, yeah. It's great. They scored 24 runs their first game and then 23 the next seven combined. And this team, they got five kids in the minors with OPSs over 1,200 at Triple-A. I mean, I get it. It's only 10 games, but come on.
You could, wow. be a Mets or a White Sox fan.
See,
though, Jay.
This is already so different. Last year, I remember talking to you middle of the season. Hey, what a great run. What a carpet ride. We're arriving early. This is so great. Win or lose, they're so fun and they're playing so well. Now 10 games, it's, hey, you guys, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Expectations suck, don't they?
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Like, I know exactly what they were up to. But, you know, they can't. Everybody saw through their charade. And, like, yeah, Ramon Urias is like 2 for 27, and Tony Kemp doesn't have a hit, and they're in one run games every night, except for today. And they didn't bring their best team north, and they got cute, and they thought they'd get away with it, but they didn't. So that's good. He's up here. Leave him alone. Let him be. Play him at second base. Let him bat ninth. But the All Star break will be their leadoff hitter.
All right, well, let's get to the NFL now for a bit. You know, you talked last week, your big quarterback mock draft is going to be out, and I've got some big play coming up this week. What last few days, we've heard a lot about the number two overall pick. It was Drake May for a while, then it looked like it was J.J. McCarthy. Now it looks like it's hot on Jaden Daniels. When it's all said and done, who does it land on for number two, and who's making that selection at number two?
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody knows exactly how that's going to turn out, except for maybe a few people in that organization. And maybe even then, you know, there's still time for debate and wiggle room. So I don't know. My best guess right now is J.J. McCarthy. As to who's making the decision, it's Dan Quinn and it's Adam Peters. And I don't think it's really anybody else. Of course, the owner will have some say in it. I don't know how vocal he's going to be this early in the process, but I know that's a super impressive young man. I know he's making tremendous impressions everywhere he goes. And for me, this isn't a rising falling thing. This is just what it was always going to be. He was going to be one of these four who go boom, 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 boom. And depending on exactly how those teams finished and depending on exactly what everybody's medical teams thought and, you know, some of the beauty in the eye of the beholder, he wasn't going to be one because one was always going to be Caleb Williams. But two, three, four could go in a whole bunch of different orders. My best hunch right now is McCarthy. But I talked to people with two of those teams. Well, yeah, two of those teams who are up there who are more likely than not to take a quarterback. And, like, no one's absolutely positively sure of the order they're going to go in after Williams goes one.
So if I were to put out a prop bet for the number of trades in the top 10 out of those top 10 picks, how much movement do we get?
I had someone with a team picking in the top 7 tell me last night he wouldn't be shocked if there were, you know, four trades in the first 16 picks.
Four trades in the first 16 picks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, figuring Denver and Minnesota maybe trying to get up, Arizona maybe moving back.
Would they all be quarterback trades, or would they?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. No, probably two quarterback trades, and then, you know, maybe a couple of other ones, someone trying to get, you know, who they think is the number one wide receiver, somebody. You know, like, I hear a lot about the Chargers being real open to moving down, like super open to moving down. You know, so if they move out and the quarterbacks have already gone 1 through 4, that's not necessarily a quarterback move. It certainly could be. But I could see them collecting capital, you know, at the very start of a rebuild there, even though it's a rebuild with a quarterback, and still liking their options for, you know, maybe they don't get the Notre Dame tackle, but there, you know, there's others that they'd like. If they stay there, I think they just take off. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of this could be pretty wild.
You know, the thing is, Jay, when I look at McCarthy and I say, okay, I watched every game this kid played at Michigan, and I go back to the Billy Beane Moneyball line. If he's such a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good? Like, if he's such a great player, why didn't he play great? Like, he played well at times. He was very up and down, and suddenly he's ahead of Jaden Daniels and 40 touchdowns and Heisman Trophy and dual threat because he had a good combine and he had a good pro day against Air. I mean, I don't get it with JJ. I don't get the JJ McCarthy love with rising up, because I just didn't see what compares to these other guys, what he did in college.
But I don't know that he rose. I mean, I guess I would say I don't know about that whole theory, because evaluators I talked to who watched all these kids are like, you go to their practices, you see him up close, like, you spend some time talking to him, you talk to his coaches about him. Like, I mean, you can just go back and look at what I was writing about him in November. Like, people who've met him love him. Like, people gush about him. Like, just because they're not throwing the ball all over the place, that's not what that coach does. Like, it's not like Harbaugh. Like, I got news for you. Justin Herbert's not going to throw the ball that much this year. Like, newsflash. It ain't going to be 40 attempts a game, you know? Like, and that's Justin effing Herbert, who's making $50 million a year. I guarantee you he's nowhere near the league leaders in passing attempts. I will bet my soul on it. So it just, you know, that's the program he was in. It's what he signed up for. He put winning above all else. It worked. There were no bitching and moaning. There was no one from McCarthy's camp unhappy with his role. There was no people close to McCarthy think he's being underutilized. You know what I mean? Like, there's none of that. So I'm not saying I would do it. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't care. Like, but if he goes one pick ahead of Jaden Daniels, like, that's a travesty. Like, I don't know. I mean, do you want a point guard, or do you want a 3-point shooter? Like, how much variance are you willing to you know, stand? Are you a first time GM going into a building that was toxic, polluted, Mr. Yuck, bad? Like, no quarterback. Every quarterback got killed there. Patrick Ramsey got killed there. RG3 got killed there. You know, Mark Brunell's career ended there. Like, go through Jason Campbell's career, got killed, you know, in one contract. Like, you're going to go there? And, like, does he want to risk it? Like, does he want to go balls out, or does he want to go maybe a little safer? Like, does he want Brock Purdy, or does he want Lamar Jackson? I don't know. But, like, if he chose that other flavor of ice cream, it's not going to surprise me, given, again, rookie GM. Like, he was just in a place where they tried it with Trey Lance. It was an unmitigated disaster, and they got their $50 million quarterback with the last pick of the frickin' draft. You know, like, he was around a coach who took RG3 third overall and took the kid from Michigan State in the fourth round. Which one had a career? So, I mean, if you're reading those tea leaves, you're going to tell me, processing all that, there's no effing way McCarthy's going to get there, and it's all like media hype and people being like me being played for fools. Like, don't worry, that happens to me all the time. But, like, is this worse than Mac Jones? Like, what was Mac Jones? What was Mac Jones ever? Like, I see more in this kid than I did Mac Jones, so I don't know.
Jason Lock and Four with us, Washington Post, 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore, excited about the Orioles and Jackson Holliday, and obviously fired up as we count down to the draft. At Jason Lock and Four, where you find him on Twitter. This is the Jason Smith Show with me, Mike Harmon, here, Fox Sports Radio. And Jason, you mentioned the magic name, Mac Jones. Patriots, better to try to get just a ton of assets and then eventually add the quarterback over the top, or do they draft one here third?
I mean, I think if the, I mean, it's weird to see a trade on the clock that high. You know, usually that kind of stuff is kind of done ahead of time because you know there's only two dudes going ahead of them and you kind of know who they are. And maybe there does become more consensus, and maybe the closer we get, there's the ability to do that. But it also wouldn't shock me if they did make that trade while they're on the clock. If whoever goes two, you know, they don't want to risk it until they absolutely see it, and then that happens. And they decide they want to build their team and then add the quarterback because they're so horrific on offense right now that whoever you put out there, like, what, how are you going to evaluate him? Like, maybe they looked at the Carolina thing and were like, you know what I mean? Like, was that fair to anybody? Like, did that make sense for anybody, including Bryce Young? Like, if you're that sort of bereft and that's what you're rolling out there every week, like, are we even going to learn about the quarterback under those circumstances? Is it better to build up our infrastructure a little bit and then add one? And I think part of it's going to become the value of, you know, what kind of offers are they getting and how overwhelming are they? But I think of all the teams, you know, as much has been said about Arizona at 4, and they're not a quarterback needy team. Like, of the quarterback needy teams, I think the one who probably could be convinced the most to move out is the Patriots.
Jace Locke and four with us here. All right, Jay, lastly, let me ask you this, because there's been, we've seen a lot of risers now, wide receiver wise, in the first round. Still Marvin Harrison Jr., first guy coming off the board as early as 5, potentially, if the Chargers don't move down?
I don't think they take a receiver that high. That would really surprise me. I'm not convinced he's the first one. I was just looking at this. I just wrote about this at Sportsline. I think I found one book where Nabers to be the first wide receiver was plus 575 or something like that. I'm like, I made a note of that. I'm like, I gotta put that one in. Like, I would sprinkle on that. Like, I'm not to get that kind of value. They're giving you 5, 6 to 1. I'm far from convinced enough that I wouldn't put a few bucks on that. Just because, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I don't think that that's nearly as clear cut as, you know, Williams, the first quarterback. Not even close.
He's on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Odyssey, Washington Post, quarterback mock drafts. Everything is rolling. And congratulations once again on Jackson Holliday, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great week.
We'll talk to you next week. Have fun. Oh, 5-second dance party.
Are you going to add the Ricky Martin video?
5-second dance party.
I gave it 5.
No, you gave it like a second and a half. Even like a second, 5, 5, the King Kong Bundy 5 count, 5.
It was a quick count.
There we go, 5-second dance party.
If you count that fast, you're fired.
You make sure that 5 count goes a little bit slower. We got to build some of that, okay? Hulk Hogan has to have some time to get his hand up and do that little one thing before he comes back. Look, I'll tell you. It's very difficult for me to see this rise of Jay. Again, I've seen
it really bothers you.
I've seen every game the guy's played, and everything I've said about him is exactly what I've been saying this for a few months. Other people, I'm hearing it now other places, so congratulations on picking up on that. But for me, it comes down to this. Michigan won the national title this year. Mm-hmm. They won the Rose Bowl. They won the national championship game, and they won by limiting J.J. McCarthy's role in the offense for both of those games. They won by limiting his role. And they nearly gave the game away in Washington in the second quarter because, hey, they run for 200 yards in the first quarter. Keep running the bleeping football. But Nona Harbaugh, who loves McCarthy, we got to get McCarthy involved. What happens? Drive stall, and Washington turns it into a game. Keep ramming that football down there. Donovan Edwards has 3 rushes for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. Keep ramming that football down there. But no. We got to get McCarthy involved. McCarthy had 1 drive in the semifinal game against Alabama. I'm not saying he didn't have his moments. Mm-hmm. He had his moments. He's not a good quarterback in the first half. You look up at the end of the game and you go, okay, his stats are kind of there. But he gets tunnel vision a lot when he throws the football. He's not someone that's dynamic. For the skill set he has, he's not that dynamic. And I don't think suddenly he's going to explode in the NFL with that. And again, I've seen other guys. You're talking about a guy like Jaden Daniels who won the Heisman Trophy that's a big dual-threat quarterback and a guy that is that dynamic. And suddenly, no, McCarthy is jumping ahead of all these guys because he had a great pro day throwing against air. Again, Zach Wilson had a great pro day throwing against air. We told you that. See what happened there? I mean, I don't get how suddenly now he's all up to number 2. All up to number 2 because of that. Okay. Okay, good luck.
You're just ignoring the Jets factor.
Good luck.
You just want to dismiss that.
Jets, yeah. I hope the Jets aren't trading up to number 2 to draft J.J. McCarthy.
How's Aaron Rodgers' rehab coming along? Has he been in contact with anybody?
Just wait till the Chargers trade up to number 2 to get J.J. They trade Justin Herbert to the Commanders, and they trade up to number 2 for J.J. McCarthy.
Dude, your mic's on.
There you go. Did you just hear Jason Locke before? He was going to bet. He bet everything he had about the down.
He's going to bet his soul.
He's going to bet his soul.
Well, the thing he was just trying to say is, given the history of Jim Harbaugh, and I think we've got enough evidence in his long tenure and collegiate and professional ranks, is that he wants to build an offensive line and have some balance.
Yeah.
Work for balance definition and actually use a run game.
I get that.
Which the Chargers, I don't know if you've watched
them. They don't have it.
They haven't had it in a while.
And that's my thing, is that he's really going to go away from relying on your best player to do the most things for you, because this is how I want to build a team. Hey, if you have the horses and you build a team, that's great. Hey, but you're talking about your best player.
What did you not do with
what he does?
What did you not do with that best player?
That's a load of crap.
What did you not do?
Good luck. Good luck.
It's not he gets on base. What did you not do?
You didn't win.
Correct.
All right. Guys, I'm going to point at Peter.
We're going to change things here because why? We want to win.
You know nothing about winning.
Yeah, would you just wait, man.
Zero.
Just wait till that draft day trade. Herbert's holding up a Commander's jersey. He's going to be, great, I guess.
If that happens, you know what's going to happen. You're screwed.
I guess I'm happy. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the TireRack.com studios. It could be anything, Frostburg. It could be anything. We'll leave that open to interpretation. Coming up next, do we have some numbers that we got to tell you about?
1, 2, Jason and Mike. 3, 4, 5,
a little bit higher than
7,
this.
Those are some
8,
numbers.
That's next right here. Fox Sports Radio.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 1, 22, 23, 24.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Job searching can be a lonely process. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish. It's time for a better way to find a job. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert you can trust, and they never charge a fee to help with your job search. Go to expresspros.com to find the office near you. Each year, tens of thousands of job seekers find work with help of Express Employment Professionals, and Express helps people find all kinds of jobs, from manufacturing to logistics to customer service to accounting and more. Getting an interview with Express can be as easy as a phone call, and with just one application with Express Employment Professionals, you're in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Make your job search easier by letting the professionals at Express be your talent agent to find you the right spot on a great team. Express Employment Professionals is your one connection for getting a job. Visit expresspros.com today.
Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
This is a real score. The Clippers lead the Suns right now 51-14.
Yes, it is.
This is like the final score of a Jets game. 51-14.
Yeah, but you know what it gives us?
In the second quarter.
It gives us a lot of bowl time.
We might
rebounding and corralling the ball and bringing it up court himself. So great.
In fact, wasn't the Black Friday game 51-14? I think that might have been 51-14 Clippers lead over the Suns. So, yeah, the Suns clearly
I was only 34-13.
Better days ahead for that. Oh, only 30. Oh, okay, very good.
Only 34. Yeah.
That's a game I stopped watching. And after the fail mare, I turned it off when I said, that's it. I'm turning off the Jets game for the first time in 30 years. numbers. We got numbers that come in that we have to talk about.
Yep.
For the first time in forever, for the first time ever, the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship outdrew the men. We talked about this last night. This is not something that you couldn't see coming. 18.7 million people watched South Carolina beat Caitlin Clark in Iowa on Sunday. 14.8 million people watched UConn beat Purdue last night in the men's final. I thought they'd get more between 16, 17 million. UConn has a little bit of cachet from winning a year ago. Zach Giddey's the best player in college basketball. While it's up a little bit from last year in UConn-San Diego State game, not nearly. You're talking about 4 million less that watch the women's game over the men's game. And while the first thing I'm going to say is I feel like the mother who's got to talk to two of their kids. This is not a competition. Okay? It's not a competition. This is not a competition. Can't you just play in nothing? Everything doesn't have to be a competition. But it's going to be pushed as, hey, the women are beating the men.
Ah, spoken as an only child. Everything was a competition.
It's a competition.
It was a competition to get your fork onto that pork chop in the middle of the table.
Doesn't have to be a
competition. Everything was a competition.
Let Mike have a little bit of pork chop, okay? Mike is the youngest. Let him have a little bit of pork chop,
I was in the middle.
Let him have that. But what this tells you is two things. One, this is kind of the new norm for the college basketball championship for the men, because you have to catch lightning in a bottle with a superstar one year who makes it all the way to the end of the tournament, because you don't get the people coming back that's going to be a built-in audience. Any of those guys that are that good are going to the NBA. So you're talking about 15 million being the new normal for the men's championship final. That's about what it is. It's down, but that's the new normal. For the women, are they going to see 18.8 million, 18.7 million? No, Caitlin Clark is a phenomenon. But what this does tell you is that there is a big market for women's college basketball. There's a big market for not just bringing women to the game. There's a market for men watching this game as well that wouldn't normally watch. So you're talking about in years from now, this is going to be, you know, going next year and the year after, as this game grows, you're going to be well north of 10 million viewers for the national championship game every year in women's college basketball. And it's going to be a close one every year between the women and the men, depending on where the star power is, what kind of year is, what kind of team is playing. Look, if it's Duke and North Carolina in the championship, if it's Duke and UCLA, or it's Kansas, and then okay, but you're talking about year to year, it's going to be really close between the women and the men.
See, I like your optimism on this. Me, I'm going at the long-term trends. Does Caitlin Clark signal that explosion where everybody stays, right? Because we had the phenomenon, and we talked about it a lot, right? You had names on all of these women's teams. You had the power of South Carolina, what Dawn Staley's built there. You had a lot of other built-in arguments, and we've talked about them as to why people might have gravitated towards the TV sets for this one. Hate watching being a real thing, wanting to see Caitlin Clark lose. I know plenty of folks that tuned in for that reason only. So you have all of that flows. So when you go back before the arrival of Caitlin Clark, we're talking about ratings in the 3.4 to 4.5 kind, and that's where we're at for the women's. So if you double that and we get to 9 to 10, then it's a huge win. But I don't know that we necessarily get to keep it there. I hope we do, and I hope for the men's game. Look, because there's the thing about respecting the teams that are playing, and UConn and Danny Hurley. It's like the San Antonio Spurs, right? You respected them. Did you necessarily tune in all the time? No, especially when you were fairly confident, and I think many were, that they were going to take care of Purdue as they did. So you tuned in for a bit. Mm-hmm. It peaks.
Yeah.
And then you say, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And for the women's game, hopefully you have another player, whether it's Juju Watkins or whomever, that people gravitate to and keep that train moving.
Watch how close it is. This will be a yearly thing now. Who's watching more? Watch more men's, watch more women's. Watch how that is. Coming up next, we get to the biggest basketball story of the day. Keep it here. This is Fox. playing zero defense tonight without Anthony Davis, who was out with potential migraine, concussion, some type symptoms.
Nausea, right? He had the eye injury, and people were wondering about that.
Yeah, eye injury, nausea, wondering what's going on, but no AD tonight. And when we were at like the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, I tweeted out, wow, you know, the Warriors could score 70 in the first half against the Lakers tonight. And I apologize, because I was wrong. The Warriors scored 71 in the first half. They lead the Lakers 71-60.
A lot of defense in this one.
Yeah.
What a struggle.
In the words of Barry Melrose, tons of offense.
We got
lots of offense going on right now. The big national game on TNT. Hey, this is a big play-in round preview game, 100%. Man. Come on, this is a big... You know, you don't get these games all the time. This is a big play-in round preview, man.
Warriors already have five guys in double figures.
Yeah. This is what we're going to get in the play-in round, man. Seriously, the play-in round in the West is going to be awesome. But this is a big play-in round preview.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's what we need. In the final week of the season, we need value. We need games of consequence, games of note, players who are interested in making their mark.
So this is where we sit right now. We'll have more on Giannis coming up in a bit. Remember, Giannis got hurt tonight. Non-contact injury, fell down. It's a calf injury, which is what the Bucks are calling it right now. MRI. To come.
How's he going
to
be a freak later, though?
I don't know. Maybe he's going to lose in the first round. The Knicks are going to the finals. That's how I see it.
Not what I meant.
That's how, you know,
there's ways.
He can lay back. Yeah. Doesn't need to be. There's ways.
Relax.
I'll draw some diagrams for you. It's okay. I can draw them for you, Frostberg. But.
You know, you can find moving pictures of such things.
Yeah, but it's more fun if I draw, like, stick figures.
Stick figures?
Here you go. This is laying down.
Here's
like
my
this.
Version
laying
of like this famous book.
He's laying down like this. Or just watch Showtime Extreme later on. I'm sure you'll enjoy that much.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know. I think it is. Well, I know it's not, like, Movie Channel or Cinemax anymore. Like, they've gone legit, like, years ago.
Like, it's like, legit?
It's like
you're saying like the other wasn't legit.
It's like in the movie when the cops go in and go, hey, we know you're running a bad fence through here. No, but I've been legit since I got out of the joint 10 years ago, man. I'm not going back. No, come on. We know you've been doing stuff. No, take a look. No, they don't put those movies on anymore.
Which makes no sense.
They don't put them
on. Made money.
They don't put them on.
Everybody was fine.
I think if they were making money on them, they'd still put them on.
Jason.
Yeah.
I don't think Harmon was asking. I think he was telling you it's still on.
Oh, okay. Are you telling me that? Because you are very late.
Well, sometimes you do the rebranding of things and you realize it's wrong, like New Coke.
Okay. New Coke was wrong.
You go back to the basics.
Yeah, but it's been
a while. Now, you can't go back to the original recipe
because
had cocaine
in it. But Cinemax has been legit for like a decade now.
Yeah, but they've always been legit.
I'm a legitimate businessman. Don't come in here and jam me up anymore.
But they were always legit. They just, you know, expanded into the billion-dollar world of
now it's not there
adult
anymore.
Entertainment.
Now it's not there anymore. Look, I mean, I assume you watch cable very late at night, and I mean very late.
Yeah, because I'm living on cable television.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Well, I know you go home and watch movies till dawn, you say. I'm going to be up till dawn. I'm going to watch them.
No, I'm old. I can't do that anymore.
No, come on. You still do that. You still do that.
No, you're far more exhausting as I get older.
You still do it.
So I can't do it.
You still do it. You're getting old. Look at you.
It's true.
Look how old you've become.
Beaten my soul out of me.
You're what's his name from the beginning of Force Awakens. Look how old you've become.
Yeah, he put up a good fight before they got him.
Not really. He was kind of on his knees, and he said something, and then Kylo Ren went, sorry, spoiler.
Yeah, but he tried to play to his sensibilities and his humanity.
Yeah.
See how that works?
Yeah, but what can you do?
What are you going to do? It was his time.
So the ramifications of the biggest college basketball bombshell of the last 48 hours continue to roll, where today we got official word that John Calipari is out at Kentucky. Now, we first heard this Sunday night, was negotiating a new deal with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Yesterday, when he was out walking his dog, kind of, with a stroller, with a dog, we think it was a real dog. It might have been like when Baxter got punted into the over the bridge by Jack Black. I'm not sure.
Busting out the Jack Black reference. I dig that. Then they had a local report that said he basically came to them saying, here's the giant bag they're going to give me.
Yeah.
Will you match it?
Yeah. But we found out today that it is true. Calipari is stepping away, puts a message on social media where he says it was time for a change with he and Kentucky.
Since our season ended, Ellen and I have spent a lot of time thinking about our time here at Kentucky. The last few weeks we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice. We've loved it here, but we think it's time for us to step away and step away completely from the program. There have been opportunities that have been presented to us, and we're discussing them as a family.
All right, so first of all, I love how him jumping to Arkansas for more money, more everything, and yet he makes it sound like, hey, this has to be done, right? I'm stepping away for you. You need me to step away. I'm jumping to another school for a ton of money, and he's making it sound like, hey, isn't this what we should do? Like, it sounds like he would have been like, if you were dating him and you were going to break up with him and you went to that conversation saying, I'm going to break up with you, you'd walk away going, he broke up with me.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what Calipari's doing, that guy. Hey, there needs to be a change. There needs to be a new voice. There needs to be all this. Look, first of all, what he's doing is he's getting out a year early. You hear it all the time. Oh, when a team trades a football player, we're trading him a year early. Because if we trade him now, yes, he still has a little bit left in the tank. We'll get something more for him. Now, if we wait a year, maybe not. He's done. We don't get anything. I'd rather trade a player a year early than a year later. Calipari is simply jumping a year early than it would be a year later. Because another year, and he knows, of no Final Four, of no SEC championship and Final Four, that's going to be it. We told you right after the team lost to Oakland, and you saw how he was reflecting, and we said, he's gone. Like, he's in his mind right now. This is his farewell press conference. Like, he knows he's got to go, because even though he has won, this is now a really bad outcome. Another year. It's been 10 years without a title. Yes, it was great early, but it's been a big dearth of it. And even though he's still winning, he probably is worn out his welcome. And so he's simply saying, okay, now I'm still hot. I'm still a hot coach that someone's going to give me a lot of money, and I'll go to Arkansas. They'll open up the NIL purse strings for me, because now the guy that runs Tyson Foods is going to give all kinds of money for NIL players. I'm going to get great players to come in. Maybe I wasn't going to get them anymore at Kentucky because people were pissed. And maybe the guys in charge of NIL money were saying, no, we don't believe in Calipari. Why am I paying all this money? Why am I giving you all this money when we just don't win in the tournament? No, I'm going to wait till you get a new guy in. So he knew maybe it was drying up there for him a little bit, and it was going to be open for him at Arkansas, and going now, he's getting that deal. But another year where maybe Kentucky doesn't do well, and suddenly it's, is Calipari still Calipari? Are people still going crazy to hire him? Or is he now a guy that Kentucky's going to fire him, and it's, maybe he goes to TV, maybe he does something else? He's getting out a year early. But I love how he's making it sound like, hey, this is a decision that we both came to. Instead of me leaving for all kinds of money, it sounds like, hey, you know, this is mutual, that we've come to this decision.
Well, he gets in front of the microphone and gets to say his piece. And, you know, it's someone, whether it's a head administrator or someone else in the athletic department, whatever, can come back and say, well, allow me to retort, and come back on some of what you just theorized there. And I think that's part of it. A little side story to it all. I thought it was cool just the number of people that came out with their different stories about Calipari the guy over the last 48 hours, as opposed to the public persona, the coach that we've seen and the guy we know, like all these different things he did around campus and for different people affected by myriad circumstances in and around the community. So I thought that was kind of cool. We don't normally see that. But also, you know, it took me a second to really grasp that he'd been there 15 years. Like, that's the other part that's like, after 15 years, like, wait, what? Yeah, again, age the rest of the world and forget about your own stuff there. But for the organization, the program as it stands, to your point about the NIL stuff, is he's going in with a PowerPoint presentation saying, well, we need to really tear down what we've been doing, right? The one-and-done model is antiquated in this new day of the transfer portal and NIL, et cetera. So we need you all to jump on board and be with me as I do that. I don't have proof that I can do this in this new world. And this is where we were talking with Casey Jacobson yesterday, saying he'd still put him in his top 20 of coaches. But now we're in that theory testing of, all right, here's the new world. We know you can recruit. Now it's about applying these new rules of engagement and rebuilding to where you're stacking enough juniors and seniors who've, you know, had gone through the battles in these conferences that can win you close games, that can win you meaningful games in March and get you to April. And so that's the next phase. And in Kentucky, perhaps you were at a point where some of the folks that used to have loose purse strings weren't quite so convinced that you can reinvent yourself at this stage of the game. Whereas when you're looking at the college landscape as a whole of coaches, Calipari still holds weight. Yeah. And a guy for Tyson Foods or Jerry Jones or whoever mm-hmm. else can say, you know what? Throw some money at it. He's a guy that can get into people's rooms. He can convince them to come in. But we need to be active in that and jump off the gate.
You just lost a guy you like. Now, how lucky are you
yeah.
that you're getting John Calipari? Okay, we're very lucky to be getting him. We're lucky. Now, yes, let's do it.
Right. We don't have to build from scratch from a guy town. Who's on the rise but still a relative unknown.
The name's Landley.
Lyle Landley.
And I stand between you great people of Springfield today like I did with North Haverbrook and Ogdenville. And I put them on the map.
Exactly.
I like you just making it sound like, hey, this had to happen. It's mutual. Meanwhile, I'm taking a boatload of money and I am going. I'm going a year early before you can push me out because that's what happened short of the Final Four next year. He wasn't going to take that gamble.
But the last couple of years, the early exits, man, I'm sure those are very uncomfortable conversations at the end of the season. To where, you know, at some point it runs out, right? You don't get to run on that one glorious, you know, finish all those years ago and saying, hey, I get guys $3 billion in contract and only gets you so far at this point.
Exit out by the Fresca, exit Swollen Dome. So make no mistake, you know exactly why he's leaving, and he's getting out before he can get pushed out. Hey, congratulations, listener Christine J., who won the Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge. Winning bracket took home the ultimate college sports trip for her and a friend, $2,000 graduate hotels gift card, $1,500 travel credit, and a basketball swag bag. Check out the final standings at foxsportsradio.com. And congrats to Chris Plank and Aaron Torres, who won the host standings. Bracket Challenge was presented by Graduate Hotels, where college fans stay, and by Tractor Supply. Asterisk on that because, of course, it was a fraud perpetrated against me to not win when I was winning and stuff. But you know the story.
We should have just picked chalk.
Coming up next, what is to make behind all the pitching injuries? What is next over the next few days in Major League Baseball? What are the biggest surprise stories the first couple weeks? A visit with John Paul Morosi is straight ahead right here. Jason and Mike, Fox. Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Questions. Walls have ears, man.
I remember when you couldn't go 5 minutes without hearing this song on the radio back in the late 90s.
Who's a better tan, Ricky Martin or Tyshirt?
It's that song again.
Tyshirt right now.
Tyshirt's got a better tan right now. He does. Looking pretty good.
Than Ricky Martin?
You going to ask another Ricky Martin question? We were just talking about Ricky Martin showing up in our social media.
Big news in Major League Baseball, and no one better to talk to than the Pope. John Paul Morosi, MLB Network insider, Fox Sports Radio insider, on Twitter at John Morosi. Pope, what's happening, man?
It's been great, my friends. Well, what a great time of year. We got the NHL playoffs getting closer, but yes, we've got plenty to discuss in the Major League Baseball world. Congrats, by the way, to the champions there on the women's basketball side, the men's basketball side. Great storylines happening there, but it is, and by the way, Frozen Four coming up this weekend, so I'm a happy man right now.
Yeah, well, that and now I'm glad you're on because now you could be the first one to preview the Dodgers Yankees World Series with us because clearly that's where it's headed. So go ahead, who do you have? How many games?
So I would say Dodgers in seven, but let's back up a little bit. They have both reached the 10 win mark, but 10 wins in April does not a championship win. So we've got some time to go for both of them. And I will say this, though, on the Dodgers side, they've done a very good job. You've got to credit Dave Roberts for, I think, early on this year, the pitching dynamics. Yamamoto struggled so much his first time out. I think Roberts had exactly the right tone to get him back into a good rhythm. The whole Shohei story, the offense certainly has picked up. Still plenty of off-the-field noise, but doesn't appear to be impacting Shohei's performance at all. So I think the Dodgers, in many ways, Padres are passing with flying colors. And the Yankees, got to tell you, we saw some big swings from Stanton here over the last week. And you look at Judge and Soto, it's been everything they hoped it would be. And let's remember, there's no Garrett Cole right now. And it's certainly, they do hope to get Cole back at some point. It's not a season-ending situation like obviously some of these injuries are right now happening around Major League Baseball. But the hope is that Cole's going to come back in the first half or right around then. And then you can really look to an even stronger and deeper group of New York Yankees.
Look at you, all sorts of positivity and everything else. All right, who's worse, the White Sox, the Marlins? Like, who's the worst team in baseball? You went all positive. I got to go to reality. Who's got the longest season ahead? And the answer is probably me.
The worst team in baseball, I would have to say right now, and it's not just because I'm speaking with someone who's got a long-standing connection to the White Sox. My answer to that question would be the Marlins, just because of how precipitous the drop has been. When we talked about that team last year, we were saying this has a chance to be a cornerstone franchise for a long time in the National League because of how good their starting pitching is. And then so many of them have gotten hurt. Really, that is in many ways ground zero of this concern now over the young pitching, because you've got a team that built its identity on young pitching, and then in a series of several months, so many of them are out, and it really impacts their depth. They don't have the budget to sign a James Paxton and have James sit in the middle of your rotation and be there until Kershaw and Buehler are healthy. They don't have the money to be able to extend the Tyler Glasnow upon trading for him. And so I think that you're seeing the Dodgers, yeah, they've had some injuries, and they're still powering through that. But in the case of this ball club in Miami, it's been just such a big disappointment for them relative to where the expectations were. Of course, Kim Ng no longer there. Mm-hmm. Peter Bendix comes in, same on-field manager, but it just does not appear to be the same team, and injuries are a huge reason why.
Well, Jason cringed the entire time. You say, you know, a team built on a young pitching staff and expecting that to carry you. Like, the whole time he was having flashbacks.
That's why I'd be a GM. I know. I know.
I remember very well 9 years ago, and was Matt Harvey shut down? Was he not? All that conversation about what his workload was 9 years ago. Now we can still talk about it, but you're right, and that is why. And I look back at that year with the Mets in 15, or really any time around then, when you have your pitching lined up and it's healthy and it's going, you better go for it. That to me, I really hope that we don't hear any GM say in July, well, we're just at the start of our window and we didn't feel like at this stage of our evolution that it was good for us to give up any players to bring in value and go for it. You better go for it now, because this idea that you've got a starting pitcher who's going to be a huge part of your future is just, it's suspect, because it's happening to everybody. Guys with good mechanics, guys with not good mechanics. Right-handers, left-handers, guys who throw high three-quarters, guys who throw different variations of it, because the spin and the velocity and the way that guys are training is so pronounced that you can't count on anything. So if your pitching is healthy for one good year, God bless you. Go out there and try to win a World Series. I don't care what your five-year plan says. It's got to change to the reality of how frequent the injuries are happening.
John Paul, as you say that, you got to go for it when you can. We are now going to see the debut of the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball. You may be there for his first game. Jackson Holliday called up by the Orioles today, son of Matt Holliday. He's going to play second base because, you know, they got a pretty good shortstop already.
Right.
Great start in AAA. They didn't wait. They brought him up. I feel like you hear about the Orioles, and I know how you and I both think they're a World Series team. I go, what else could they possibly need? I mean, what else could the Orioles possibly need, John Paul?
Well, it's a fair question, and let's start with the Holliday excitement. You're right. He is the polish that Jackson Holliday has at this age is, I would describe it in some ways as Bryce Harper-esque. that arrival that, and you go back to 2012, my goodness, it feels like it was just last year, but that was the year that Machado, Trout, and Harper all arrived. And when you consider the fanfare that went into Harper's debut at Dodger Stadium, Vin Scully announcing it, this has that same feel to it. There are not many other debuts that I can think back on since then that have had the same level of excitement and cachet. So I can't wait to be there. Our game on MLB Network is Thursday night, so make sure you tune in. We've got the national broadcast that evening, so I can't wait to watch Jackson play in person. But I think, to your point, what else do they need? And it's fair to say they don't need much position player-wise. They've got a really good group in the minor leagues that I think would be starting on a lot of major league clubs. But the thing I keep coming back to is the rotation depth and what we just talked about. I hope and believe that a lot of their pitching is going to stay healthy. But because of what we just talked about before this topic began, if you're Mike Elias at the trade deadline, don't you have to add the best available pitcher that you can, whoever it ends up being? And because when you're overall, position player ball club is this good and this young. Position players, you don't worry so much about the attrition as you do with pitching. So go out there. If you got to trade one of them, do it, because you protected your depth so well when you traded for Corbin Burns that you still have plenty of depth left. So that is a dangerous team for a long time because of how good and how young they are in the position player area. You can always get more pitching, but I love their position players.
Jason Smith Show with me, Mike Harmon, here live from the TireRack.com Fox Sports Radio studios, and on the hotline with us as he joins us, longtime friend of the show, MLB Network, getting ready for some NHL action as well. It's our guy, John Paul Morosi, at John Morosi. Leave out the H in John, because mom said so. It's J-O-N-M-O-R.
Thanks, Mike. Grazie mille. Grazie mille.
Amico. Always got to show mom the love, you know? But you're talking a lot about pitching health. That's the story of the first couple weeks of this Major League Baseball season. A lot of arguments and discussions, JP, about causation and where we're getting to. I mean, people you're talking to, you know, pitch clock, not getting stretched out earlier in their careers, right? And guys only going 3-4 innings. I mean, where are we falling on this? Because it's hitting epidemic level.
It really is. And a couple things. First and foremost, I do not think the pitch clock is the reason. Does it have a small correlation? I don't really see it. I think a lot of the research out of Johns Hopkins last year that MLB cited would suggest that there is no real relationship there in terms of the pitch clock and the injuries. What I do think is a reality is, and I just look back at the data, how few starting pitchers throw 200 innings a year now. And it's dramatically reduced even from 10 years ago. And so that was obviously well before the pitch timer came into being. If you even have it set from 2022, which was the last year pre-pitch timer, and then back into the future, or into the past rather, there were many, many, many more pitchers were going 200 innings. So clearly this is not related to the pitch timer in that respect. I think it's largely about velocity and spin and the way that pitchers are trained. The human body, they're better trained than ever. They're stronger than ever. More explosive than ever. And so they're testing ligaments in ways that we as a species have not been doing before. And so as a result, you're asking the body to do things it hasn't done before, and it breaks. And that is the reality of a lot of these different situations. The body just breaks down when you're throwing 90-mile-an-hour sliders. It's not meant to do that. And I think Dr. Keith Meister spoke recently with Foul Territory. I think it was a very, very important insight. He basically said that it's the grip and the spin that is, and the way in which the horizontal movement has become so popular with a changeup, or more likely with a slider or a sweeper, that the more that you're torquing your forearm to do that, the more stress you're placing on the UCL, and the more often it breaks. I mean, it's to me, it's very intuitive, but for a very intuitive problem, the solution's difficult, which is how do we incentivize pitchers to not throw with max velocity and max stuff? Because that's what gets them paid. It's a very, very complicated and multi-layered issue because it's just not practical to ask pro athletes to operate at 80% of what they can do over the long haul because they want to make their money in the short term. It takes a special person to be able to trust that at the back end they'll make the money, and I just don't know how realistic that is for a lot of different players.
He's on Twitter at John Morosi. That it was at John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, and he's already will be wearing his Michigan hockey helmet between now and the end of the Final Four. Sorry, the end of the Frozen Four.
Frozen Four, you got it.
Good luck, JP.
Tough matchup. Boston College, one of the great lines in college hockey. Smith, Leonard, Perreault, Cutter Gauthier should win the Hobie Baker. It's going to be a tough matchup for the Maize and Blue.
Hey, but if you win them both, you're Massachusetts State champions. So you'll be all right if you win both these games.
There you go. You would have BU and BC are potentially there. That's a great call. I love it. Well said, my friends. Well done.
Enjoy the game, Pope. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
See you, buddy. Goes. Great stuff from John Paul Morosi.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.